Okay, this is how Ramanujacharya begins his commentary. Yet padambor hadhyana vidvasa shesha kalmashaha vastutam upayatoham yamuneyam namamitam. Why? I bow to that well-known Yamunacharya. All of whose sins without exception were destroyed by meditation over his lotus-like feet, and who was thus led even to realize the state of being spiritually alive. Literally what he is saying is, by meditation on the lotus feet of Sri Yamuna, I became a substantial entity. All of my kalmashas have been destroyed. Vedanta Deshika has commented that Yamuna is actually a predecessor acharya of Ramanuja. So the message he is giving is, one should not ignore one's predecessor acharyas. Okay. Shriyah Patir Nikhila Heya Pratyanika Kalyana Ikatanaha. The Lord of Lakshmi, he who is the opposite of everything that is evil and the sole seat of all auspiciousness. Svetara Samasta Vastu Vilakshana Ananta Jnana Anandaika Swarupaha. Who is, as described above, distinguished from all things other than him, who is infinite and is solely of the nature of knowledge as bliss. Svabhavika Anavadhika Atishaya Jnana Bala Aishwarya Virya Shakti Tejah Prabhrati Asankhyaya Kalyana Guna Gana Mahodadhihi. Who is the vast ocean of countless auspicious qualities, each unbounded and unsurpassed, such as knowledge, strength, sovereignty, valor, power and glory that are of his own nature. Now these are all expressions which Ramanuja will repeatedly use. Throughout his Gita commentary, he will go on describing the Lord like this. In his Vedanta Sutra commentaries also he uses this. This is originally coming from Yamanacharya Stotra Ratna. Swabhimatanu rupaika rupa chintya divyadbhuta nitya niravadya niratishaya ujvalya saugandhya saundarya saukumarya lavanya yauvanadhyananta guna nidhihi divya rupaha. Whose divine form is the treasure house of infinite qualities, agreeable to and worthy of him, and each unsurpassed, such as brilliancy, grace, fragrance, tender softness, beauty, youthfulness, which are unchangeable, unthinkable, supernatural, miraculous, everlasting and faultless. Svochita vividha vichitra ananta ascharya nitya niravadya parimita divya bhushanaha. Who is adorned with the countless divine ornaments of various kinds appropriate to him, variegated, infinitely wonderful, eternal and free from imperfections. Svanurupa asankhyaya achintya shakti nitya niravadya niratishaya kalyana divya ayudhaha. Who possesses countless divine weapons which are worthy of him, are of unthinkable prowess and are eternal, faultless and unsurpassably auspicious. Swabhimata anurupa nitya niravadya swarupa rupa guna vibhava aishwarya shila adi anavadhika tishaya asankhyaya kalyana guna gana shrivallabhaha. Who is the beloved consort of Lakshmi, the multitude of whose unlimited, unsurpassed and innumerable auspicious qualities, such as sovereignty and graciousness, and whose nature, form and its excellences and whose glory are dear to and worthy of him and are eternal and faultless. Svasankalpa anuvidhayi swarupa sthiti pravritti bheda shesha sheshata ikarati rupa nitya niravadya niratishaya jnana kriyaishwarya dhyananta gunagana parimita suribhihi anavarata abhishtuta charana yugalaha. The pair of whose feet is incessantly extolled by countless eternally free souls, whose nature, existence and activity in all their varieties depend on His will, whose essential characteristic is soul delight in complete subservience to the Lord, who are eternal, that is, ever manifest in their essential nature, who are faultless and who possess multitudes of infinite qualities such as unsurpassed knowledge, devotional activity and supreme power, etc.
He is talking about infinite qualities, he's saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Not as infinite as the Supreme Lords, that Vedanta Deshika clarifies. They are capable of infinitely serving the Supreme Lord by His arrangement. They are not intrinsically infinite. That is clarified by Deshika. Deshika has written a sub-commentary on this. There are so many points here actually. These are all because he has condensed a lot of information from scriptures into this. Where is this? Vang manasa parichedya swarupa svabhavaha, whose essential nature and characteristics cannot be measured by speech and mind.
This is the Supreme Lord, right?
Yeah, it's back to the Supreme Lord. Svochita vividha vichitra ananta bhogya bhogo upakarana bhogasthana samriddha ananta ascharya ananta mahavibhava ananta parimana nitya niravadya akshara parama vyoma nilayaha, whose abode is the Supreme Heaven, which abounds in many kinds, each variegated of innumerable objects of enjoyment, as well as the means and places of enjoyment, all appropriate to Him, which is full of infinite wonder, which is full of measureless transcendent glory, and which is of infinite extent, and is eternal, faultless and immutable. Vivida vichitra ananta bhogya bhoktrivarga paripurna nikhila jagad udaya vibhava laya leelaha, whose sport it is to create, sustain and dissolve the whole universes, completely filled with diverse, wonderful and countless objects of enjoyment and orders of beings that enjoy them. Now there are different, this word sport, leela, this means that effortlessly he is engaging in this, that is why it's called the leela. Param Brahma Purushottamo Narayano Brahmadi Stavarantam Nikhilam Jagat Srishtva Svena Rupena Avastita, who is the Supreme Brahman, the highest person, and Narayana. He, after having created the entire universe, beginning with Brahma, the four-faced creator, and ending with the immovable objects, while remaining in His own form, Brahmadideva Manushyanam Dhyana Radhana Dyagocharoha Apara Karunya Saushilya Vatsalya Audarya Mahodadihi, while remaining in His own form, was inaccessible through meditation, worship and such other devotional acts to the gods headed by Brahma and to men, being the vast ocean of boundless mercy, affability, affection and generosity. Swayam eva rupam tat tat sajatiya samsthanam swasvabhavam ajahaddeva kurvan teshu teshu lokeshu avatirya avatirya tais tair aradhitaha. He made His own form in conformity with the nature of the configuration of each one of the several species of beings without giving up His own essential nature, and thus descending again and again into each one of their regions and being worshipped by By the respective beings of each one of them. Where is this? Tattad dishtanurupam dharmarthakama mokshakhyam phalam prayachan. He bestowed upon them fruits known as righteousness, wealth, enjoyments and the salvation of soul emancipation, conformably to the wish of each. In English it's so many sentences, but actually in Sanskrit it's only still one sentence only. Bhubhara avatarana apadeshena asmadnadinam api samsara dukkha shamanaya samashraniyatvaya avatirya urvyam sakala manuja nayana vishayatam gataha. And under the pretext of removing the burden of the earth, but really for the purpose of becoming the object of refuge even to unworthy people like us, He descended to the earth and made himself visible to the eyes of all men. Putana, Shakata, Yamalarjuna, Arishta, Pralamba, Dhenuka, Kaliya, Keshi, Kulayapida, Chanura, Mushtika, Tosala, Kamsa Adin, Nihatya, Anavadika, Daya, Sauharda, Anuraga, Garbha, Valokana, Lapa, Amritair, Vishwam, Apyayayan. Having done such divine acts as ravished the minds and eyes of all men, both high and low, having killed Putana, Shakata, the twin Arjuna trees, Arishta, Pralamba, Dhenuka, Kaliya, Keshin, Kolayapida, Chanura, Mushtika, Tosala, Kamsa, and such others, having refreshed the entire universe with the nectar of his looks and words, pregnant with boundless compassion, friendliness and love, Nirratishaya, Saundarya, Saushilyadi, Gunagana, Avishkarena, Akrura, Malakaradin, Paramabhagavatan Kritva. Having made Akrura, the garland maker, Malakara, and such others, the greatest of the godly, through the manifestation of his surpassing beauty, affability, and such other qualities, Panduttane Yuddha Protsahana Vyajena, Parama Purushartha Lakshana Moksha Sadhana Taya, Vedantoditam Swavishayam Jnanakarmanu Grihitam Bhakti Yogam Avatarayam Asa. This is the end of his first sentence. Under the pretext of encouraging the son of Pandu to fight, he promulgated the way of realizing God through love, Bhakti Yoga, which is fostered by the ways of knowledge and works, namely Jnana Yoga and Karma Yoga, which has himself for its object and is declared in the Vedanta as the means for the attainment of the emancipation of the soul, the highest of human ends.
Just go back to that paragraph. So there it says, under the pretext of encouraging the son of Pandu to fight, he promulgated the way of realizing God through love, Bhakti Yoga, which is fostered by the ways of knowledge and works.
This is the system. This is actually Yamanacharya's Gitartha Sangraha. First one should engage in Karma Yoga, then one should engage in Jnana Yoga, then one should come to Bhakti Yoga. In Bhagavad Gita, that is the teaching.
Yes, no, but then he does not encourage sannyas, right?
No, but his concept of Bhakti Yoga is...
No, he does not encourage Jnana Yoga in terms of sannyas, though.
See, he does not promote this. He does not promote karma sannyasa.
Okay.
But this, according to his formula, yoga means karma, jnana, bhakti. Together is called a yoga. Karma pradhana, karma jnana, bhakti is karma yoga.
Karma Yoga,
which
brings knowledge.
Of course, it has to be aimed at liberation, then it's called Karma Yoga. Jnana Pradhana Karma Jnana Bhakti is Jnana Yoga. Bhakti Pradhana Karma Jnana Bhakti is Bhakti Yoga. So, by his formula, he does not promote this at all, and we'll keep seeing it.
Sure.
This variety, he does not promote it.
Why which variety is promoted?
This particular, what I'm showing in the mouse.
What is that variety?
It means you actually give up karma. This is also Jnana Yoga, this is also Jnana Yoga. But here bhakti is there. Karma is there in the background. Here karma is fully rejected. Whatever I've highlighted is what is predominant, okay? And whatever is read is what is carried out by the practitioner. Whatever is struck out is not done.
Yellow is what?
Yellow is what is predominant. Okay, so Ramanuja, he promotes this method. See, from here, you go here. From Karma Yoga, you come to Jnana Yoga, then you come to Bhakti Yoga.
Yeah, without giving up karma, right?
Without giving up karma.
Yeah, that's fine.
What we call Kevala Sadhana Bhakti, he calls it Parabhakti. And what we call Bhava Bhakti is what they call Paragyana. And what we call Prema Bhakti is what they call Parama Bhakti. So they also have the equivalent. But we talk about shortcuts and all, for them there is no shortcut. Well, of course they accept surrender to the Lord. Surrender to the Lord is functionally equivalent to Bhakti Yoga. Prapatti is functionally equivalent to this. But they don't say that we are doing Bhakti Yoga, because Bhakti Yoga requires Jnana Yoga. Jnana Yoga requires
form of Parabhakti. What is their form of Parabhakti? What is an example of that? What is an example of that?
The Alvars. They recognize the Alvars were engaged in devotional service to the, even without Jnana and Karma. But they don't promote it as a sadhana. They promote it as an intermediate goal. You will not find Sri Vaishnavas saying this, that you can do this from day one. Gaudiya Vaishnavas, on the basis of Bhagavatam, we say this.
So that's why Alvar can steal, because it does not follow.
Not steal, but in general, Kevala Sadhana Bhakti, you know, in their system, they don't. The Lord himself came and said, don't do it now.
He said, don't do it. I mean, it was very nominal, because he saw the Lord, and the Lord only asked him to lift what he stole, that's it.
See,
I think more than
this
more.
Is what I did actually yesterday. Okay, our method is progress through Sadhu Sangha. Okay, through Sadhu Sangha we can directly come to the point of Kevala Sadhana Bhakti. But in the Ramanuja scheme, you cannot do things like that. First of all, it has to be Karma Pradhana, then Jnana Pradhana, then Bhakti Pradhana, then afterwards gradually you have to come to Parabhakti.
But what is the concept of Prapatti? They are always saying Prapatti, Prapatti, no? Just surrender to the Lord.
No, but in that surrender to the Lord, you cannot give up karma and jnana. You have to accept karma and jnana as bhakti anukula by definition. You understand? By definition, karma and jnana have to be accepted. Because they are by definition bhakti anukula. There is no question of bhakti pratikula karma jnana. So they do not recognize kevala.
What jnana is that? Bhagavad jnana?
Yeah, Bhagavad jnana obviously. Bhagavad karma, Bhagavad jnana.
But even practitioners of Kevala Bhakti,
that also same.
No, it is not the same. That is Pradhanibhuta Bhakti. In our line, I remember so many years back, 1996 or 1997, he told, Ravindra Swaraprabhu said, only in our line we have carefully distinguished Karma, Jnana, Bhakti as three independent strands. The other lines, they are all twining it together. But in our line, very clearly we distinguish. This is called karma, this is called jnana, this is called bhakti. And bhakti can independently exist. Which is true actually. If you are, as we go through this only you will understand.
But then we study Prabhupada Sutra, that is Bhagavad Jnana, no?
There is a distinction. Jnana means Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. It is a whole process of Vedic education.
Okay.
You have to accept celibacy. There are so many things that go. It's a jnana system. Karma means the men have to be divided by varnas and ashramas. All of them have common duties. Women have to do stri dharma. Otherwise you cannot progress. In that track, if you don't do like that, you don't progress.
Okay.
Unofficially, of course, they admit that there are some exceptions, some Muslim, this, that. But they will not bring it into a standard framework.
So how do you say ours? Because we still study, no? Purposeful, that is, we study.
No. But and you are supposed to study the Upanishads. Then you have to study Vedanta Sutra. There's a procedure. How we do. Just like we also do deity worship. But deity worship is a procedure, exact procedure. You have to do arati, you have to offer incense. It's a procedure, detailed, scripturally detailed procedure. So it's not simply reading, means simply reading Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, that is not jnana. It's a procedure. And even to study the Upanishad, there's a procedure. Vedanta Sutra, there's a procedure. They have to go through that.
So the Ramanuja line, they follow the procedure for Karma and...
No. They don't. They say that we don't follow Bhakti Yoga. One of the two lines says that you can follow
Karma Yoga. They follow the procedure for Karma Yoga?
No, they don't. Karma Yoga to Jnana Yoga to Bhakti Yoga, both the lines, there are two branches. Both branches admit that this is practically impossible in Kali Yuga to reach Bhakti Yoga properly. So therefore they abandon that and they do what they call Sharanagati or Prapatti, which is functionally the equivalent of our Pradhanibhuta Bhakti.
How they do it? Sharanagati
Bhakti? The six items you have to accept. Okay. But functionally what they do is what we call Pradhanibhuta Bhakti. That's what they do. But they repeatedly go on telling, we don't do Bhakti Yoga, we are not doing Bhakti Yoga. The moment you say Bhakti Yoga, immediately they remember, oh, Bhakti Yoga requires Jnana Yoga before. It requires Karma Yoga before. So they very vociferously they say that. Both the branches, northern branch, southern branch, both of them they will say, we are not doing.
Then what are they doing?
Prapatti, they will say. And what they call, see the moment you say Bhakti Yoga, your Gopi Prandhanpur once explained why they talk like that. They have the ancient process of coming to Bhakti Yoga in their mind. Everybody cannot do Bhakti Yoga. Everybody will not be allowed to do Bhakti Yoga. You have to first of all function in Varnashrama Dharma properly for a few decades. Then for a few decades, you start listening to the Vedantic scriptures. And then you come to the mode of goodness, which involves celibacy. There's so many items in Jnana. 20 items we have now, 13 chapter. All of those things will become prominent in life.
But Ramanuja's life, if you see, he himself did not do follow the system.
The process of Karma Yoga to Jnana Yoga to Bhakti Yoga. Yeah, this is an ancient process. In the previous yugas, they followed.
No, but Ramanuja himself did not follow that system, I am saying. He directly promoted Bhakti.
He directly promoted what we call Bhakti Yoga. What Bhagavatam calls Bhakti Yoga, he has promoted. But Pancharatra doesn't call that Bhakti Yoga. Pancharatra calls that Sharanagati. So it looks like if you directly do it, it's called Sharanagati. And if you come through Jnana Yoga and you come to Jnana Yoga through Karma Yoga, it's called Bhakti Yoga. Because in Bhakti Yoga, it is like this. In Bhakti Yoga, you are supposed to engage in ceaseless, affectionate meditation on the Supreme Lord like an unbroken flow of oil. That is what is called Bhakti Yoga.
Right? Spontaneous.
Raganuga. There's no Raganuga in Vaikuntha, there's no Raganuga. Raganuga means the higher 2.5. In our line, when we use the expression Raganuga, we are referring to higher 2.5 rasas.
When you say unbroken affection, only those people can have unbroken affection.
No. Nishtha. In Vaidhi Marga also, there is Shraddha to Prema. In Raganuga Marga also, there is Shraddha to Prema. The only
thing is. Progresses to Raganuga now.
No. There's a separate. You can go to Vaikuntha.
How do you go to Vaikuntha? How do you develop Dasya Prema? Shraddha Sadhu Sangha.
Yeah, that's fine. But generally.
That is not spontaneous devotional service. Why spontaneous doesn't mean that you are automatically inclined in. That is not the meaning of Raganuga. Raganuga means that you don't have any fear of God. In Vaikuntha,
Raganuga means that you are following the resident of Vrindavan.
Golaka Vrindavan. And the characteristic distinction between that and Vaikuntha is, Vaikuntha one will have fear of God in addition to love of God. That Ramanuja himself makes it clear in his, he has written 3 prayers called Gadyatraya, prose prayers. And he describes how a living entity finally will attain Vaikuntha. And he clearly says, after the living entity attains the Supreme Lord in Vaikuntha, he is in front of the Lord. His heart must feel fear. With fear he should fold his hands and he will say, "My Lord, I will do whatever you say." Previously I thought this is simply our group.
That is the prema which takes you to Vaikuntha.
It is bhaya bhakti. Whereas Raganuga is abhaya bhakti. You don't have fear of God.
Why did this point come? Did you say something? It's very important.
Anyway, so Bhakti Yoga.
The ceaseless unbroken with fear.
Affection and fear.
The fear element is there.
Fear element has to be there. That Lord Chaitanya says it and we know it. But I did not know that Ramanuja himself has written it also. Then I discovered it. Only 2-3 months back I saw that.
Is awe or it is fear? Is awe or it is fear?
Awe and veneration, Prabhupada says, no.
But awe and veneration is different from fear.
No, fear not like fear of Maya. But fear of offending and overwhelming fear. Trasa. He uses the expression trasa. Trasa means it is a Vaikuntha mood.
No, I'm laughing. I'm smiling. I actually said fear and then I changed my recording to from fear to ashchari.
No, it is not just ashchari.
First initially I said fear. They change the recording from fear to ashchari.
Okay. Tatra Pandavanam Karunamcha Yuddhe Prarabdhe Sa Bhagavan Purushottama Sarveshwareshwaro Jagat Upakritir Jagat Upakriti Martya Upakritim Upakriti Martya Ashita Vatsalya Vivashah Artham Rathinam Atmanamcha Sarathim Sarvaloka Sakshikam Chakara. With this in view, when that war between the sons of Pandu and the descendants of Kuru commenced, "He, the gracious Lord and the Supreme Person, the master of all the gods, he who assumed a mortal form for helping the world to salvation, who is overpowered by his affection for those who seek refuge with him, made Pritha's son Arjuna the knight in the chariot and himself the charioteer as witnessed by the whole world."
That mortal form is an imperfect translation. What is the actual?
Jagat upakriti martyaha. For the welfare of the universe, he appeared to be a martya. Martya is a mortal.
It says appeared, is it?
It doesn't say. In Sanskrit, you don't have to say. Literally, it means world benefiting mortal. It's called aluk. There are certain kinds of compounds where you don't have to spell all the components of the compound. Evam arjunasya utkarsham gyatva api sarvatmana andhaha dhritarashtraha suyodhana vijaya bhutsaya.
But the actually not formed to be eternal.
Yeah, they accept it.
Yeah.
In the Ramanuja scheme, in the Ramanuja group, they don't consider the Lord's body to be non-different from him. They don't consider them to be non-different, they consider them to be inseparable. They don't consider them to be non-different.
Say.
They don't consider the Lord and his body to be non-different.
Okay.
They consider the Lord and his body to be inseparable.
See, if you that introduction, no? Previously, when he was actually listing all the different qualities of the Lord, in that it is mentioned that he made a body which is like...
He made himself into forms that are compatible with the worshipper's forms.
With the worshipper's forms, like that it is written there.
That simply means he manifests. That in all Vedanta Deshika clarifies. He's got a sub-commentator, Vedanta Deshika. And he clarifies that his body is spiritual, Sachidananda.
And what is the meaning of saying he and his body are inseparable?
Oh, that for some reason they go on saying like that. They don't say that...
There's some superimposition.
Huh?
Yeah.
No.
No, but he's saying he made... Can we go back to that? He clearly says he made his bodies. That means he is differentiated from his body.
Look. Param Brahma Purushottamaha Narayanah Brahmadi Stavarantam Nikalam Jagat Srishtva Svena Rupena Avastitaha. He is situated in his own form. Brahmadi Deva Manushyanam Dhyana Aradhana Adi Agocharaha Apara Karunya Saushilya Vatsalya Audarya Mahodadihi Swayameva Rupam Tat Tat Sajatiya Samsthanam Swaswabhavam Ajahad Deva Kurvan Teshu Teshu Lokeshu Avatirya Avatirya Tais Tair Aradhitaha.
Ajahad Deva Kurvan.
No. Ajahad means without giving up his nature.
Yeah.
Actually, interestingly, Prabhupada in his... I don't have Gitar Gan. Prabhupada had one small booklet called Gitar Gan. And he wrote... he wrote an introduction to it in Bengali, where he quotes a portion of this introduction of Ramanuja as it is. And he gives a Bengali translation to it also.
What is it then?
Same accent. His translation is not much different. Only thing when he says he bestows upon them fruits of dharma, the kama, moksha, Prabhupada translates it as something like he gives them love of Godhead, which is different from dharma, the kama. Because when Ramanuja talks like this, he is actually having his concept of liberation is also slightly different from what is generally considered liberation. His concept of liberation is the facility with which the living entity can serve the Supreme Lord at all times, at all places, under all circumstances.
Unceasingly.
So therefore, they in the Ramanuja group, they repeatedly say, there is no question of Jivan Mukti. There is nothing called Jivan Mukti. It is a fabrication of the Mayavadis. There is nothing called Jivan Mukti. Mukti is only after. Because as long as you are in this body, you cannot serve Lord Narayana in every possible manner. In Vaikuntha, if you want to serve Lord Narayana, you can become 10 forms and you can serve him. Simultaneously, you can serve him. But in this, when you are stuck here, you cannot do that. So this is not moksha. So they have a certain concept of what is liberation.
So the translation goes like this. Correct. He made his own form in conformity with
it. No. Ajaha Deva Kurvan. Look. Without giving up his own essential nature, the word made doesn't appear in the original. It means that he manifested his own form. in conformity with the nature of each of his worshippers.
What is the nature of each of the worshippers? Human like form.
No, when human beings worship him.
No, the rasas are given there. You see the Sanskrit, the rasas are given there.
Not rasa.
Yeah, it's given there. Just read.
Look.
Before.
Brahmadideva manushyanam dhyana aradhana adi agocharaha. He is beyond the range of the meditation and worship, etc., of Brahma and other devas and human beings.
Okay.
Apara kauranya saushilya vatsalya audarya mahodatihi. He is a great ocean of unbounded compassion, good character, vatsalya and audarya. You will always find dasya. He always writes in dasya. He only describes qualities which fit dasya rasa, shanta dasya. Svayam eva rupam tattat sajatiya samsthanam svabhavam ajahadeva kurvan. Without giving up his respective nature, he manifests himself to them. He descends to their worlds and he gives them the fruits that they desire. It could be dharma or artha or kama or
descends to their worlds.
To their worlds. To their lokeshu.
What does it practically mean?
Incarnations.
Incarnations.
Human like in form.
When human beings worship him, then he appears like a human being. When demigods worship him, then he appears like Vamana. When Janaloka residents worship him, then he descends like maybe Naranarayana Rishi or something like that. Corresponding to that.
So all of them are spiritual forms.
They are spiritual forms.
Without giving up his qualities.
Without giving up their natures. They don't, none of those forms give up their nature. But it is not very clear in Ramanujacharya's wordings. It is not very clear. Even though knowing the matters to be thus, Dhritarashtra, who was blind in every way, wished to learn of the victory of Suyodhana, more familiarly known as Duryodhana, and asked of Sanjaya as follows. So this is his introduction. Now let me take up Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya is... Okay, here is... Where is Madhu? Ananda Tirtha Krita Bhashya Upadhataha. Okay, wait. Let me spot. BNK Sharma's, he has added material from Jaitirtha, so I'll have to keep separate Madhva from all of that. Devam Narayanam Natva Sarvadosha Vivarjitam Paripurnam Gurum Shyan Gitartham Vakshyami Le Shataha. Making my obeisance to the Supreme Deity Narayana, who is wholly free from all imperfections at all times and is infinite in space and time, and in his auspicious attributes, and to my own preceptor, Sri Vedavyasa, I shall now briefly expound the meaning of the Gita. This briefly expound. Originally, he wrote the word Shaktitaha, which will then mean I will expound the meaning of the Gita to the best of my ability. And then he actually composed it and he read it out in Badrikashrama to the deity of Vyasadeva. Actually to the deity of Badrinarayana. And then the deity told him, you change that one word Shaktitaha to Leshataha, which will then imply that you are only briefly expounding the meaning of the Gita, which further implies that later on you will have to write another commentary, which also implies that there are many more meanings of the Gita that you know, and out of compassion for these human beings, you are only explaining a small little bit. He was very happy with that, because this is his first book he wrote.
Who?
Madhva. Actually, after writing this,
so, did this interpretation is given from where? Where did you pick that up from?
It comes in his biography. Madhva Vijay. Comes in his biography. He himself told. He went with a group of disciples and to Badrikashrama. This is his first visit. And he had written this And so he changed that. First he wrote it properly, he wrote it fully, he read it out, he recited it fully to the deity, and then he changed it. He was in Maunavrata, so he was not speaking, but for 48 days he was in Maunavrata. Then afterwards he wrote one verse saying, there is no place superior to this place, there is no place, there is no deity superior to this Lord, Supreme Lord, there is no book, there is no teaching superior to my teaching, and I am going now, I don't know if I will come back, but this is the message I have. And then he gave the Gita Bhashya, this is the first commentary on Bhagavad Gita, he gave it to his disciples, and then he went off to, he said, I am going to Vyasashrama. And this is a place where human beings cannot come. It's too cold and various other problems are there. But he told them, I'm not sure if I'll come back, but this is my message to humanity. And he gave this and he went off. Then he went, he met Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva took him to Narayana Rishi. They talked to him. He said, I'm very happy. I just want to be here. I don't want to go back. Then they said, no, you should write a Bhagavad Gita, should write a Brahma Sutra explanation. And they gave him work. So then he came back.
Huh?
They gave him some project work. They gave him some project work. And then he studied. Yeah, he studied under Vyasadeva actually. And then he came back. His disciples were still waiting for him. He came back, and then as soon as he came back, he started dictating commentary on Vedanta Sutra. His first commentary. He wrote four commentaries on Vedanta Sutra.
Four commentaries.
Yeah. So this is the first commentary he dictated. Then he came back. Then later on, after a few years, again he wanted to come to, he wanted to meet Vyasadeva again. Second time Vyasadeva instructed him to summarize Mahabharata. So that's why he wrote the Mahabharata Tatparya. So anyway, this is the history behind this. So I give a lot of importance to this Gita Bhashya because all said and done, Madhva wrote this and he basically said, this is my message to humanity. So I have my own peculiar argument that all philosophies of Tattvavada should be tested against Gita Bhashya. Because here he doesn't talk of Jivatraya Vidya and all that. Nashta dharma jnana lobha kripalu bhihi brahma rudrendradi bhihi arthitaha jnana pradarshanaya bhagavan vyasaha avatatara. The Lord Narayana, endowed with fullness of wisdom, sovereignty and other attributes, manifested himself as Vyasa to teach the path of duty and of saving knowledge for the benefit of deserving souls who had lost sight of Nivritti Dharma and Jnana in response to the representation made to him by Brahma, Rudra, Indra and other gods out of compassion for them. Now all of this is brought out in Skanda Purana, how Vyasadeva appeared. There was a complex situation in Dwapara Yuga. The sages, by some curse of Gautama, they lost the proper understanding of Vedic Shastra. So then Brahma, this group, Brahma, Shiva, Indra and others, they went and prayed to Lord Narayana, you please descend somehow and make everyone understand what is proper Vedic philosophy. So then he appeared as Vyasa. So he is referring to that. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that Tattvavadis refer to Vyasadeva as Vishaya Vigraha. We refer to him as Ashraya Vigraha. We refer to Vyasadeva as a devotee of the Supreme Lord, as a Vaishnava. Whereas they refer to Vyasadeva as Vishnu himself. So that you will see it straight coming from Madhva only. Tatascha Ishtanishta Prapti Parihara Sadhana Adarshanad Vedartha Ajnanacha Samsari Klishyamananam Veda Anadhikarinam Stri Shudra Dinamcha Dharma Jnana Dwara Moksho Bhavediti Kripaluhu Sarva Vedartho Pabrimhitam Tad Anukta Kevala Ishwara Jnana Drishtartha Yuktamcha Sarva Praninam Avagahya Anavagahya Rupam Kevala Bhagavat Swarupa Param Parokshartham Mahabharata Samhitam Achiklipat. The compassionate one composed the Mahabharata Shastra, with whose aid persons ineligible for the study of the Vedas, like women and Shudras, suffering births and deaths for want of the saving knowledge and the consequent inability to find the right means of realizing the desirable values of life and eschewing the undesirable, may obtain release from samsara through right knowledge and pursuit of Nivritti Dharma. Nivritti Dharma, this is an expression that is found in some Dharma Shastras. There is pravritti dharma and nivritti dharma. Nivritti dharma is the pathway of renunciation, what we call nivritti marga. And pravritti dharma is the pathway, what we call pravritti marga. This shastra, Mahabharata, embodies, in addition, truths and facts not proclaimed in the Vedas but open to God's own immediate perception. Hence, its thought content is of such a nature as to be both within the range of ordinary comprehension and beyond it. Its chief content of thought is divine majesty, which is esoteric. Its exposition of dharma and other values is to bring divine majesty into focus and relief. See his expression how he uses.
It's
not Vyankeshwara,
right?
But it's correct only. these are correctly, he has brought out these points. Tachoktam. Lokesha Brahma Rudradya Samsare Kleshinam Janam Vedartagyam Adhikara Varjitam Chastriyadikam Aveksya Prarthayama Sur Devesham Purushottamam Tatah Prasanno Bhagavan Vyaso Bhutva Chatenacha Anyavatara Rupaischa Vedanuktartha Bhushitam Kevalena Atma Bodhena Drishtam Vedartha Samyutam Vedadapi Param Chakre Panchamam Vedamuttamam Bharatam Pancharatram Cha Mula Ramayanam Tatha Puranam Bhagavatam Cheti Sambhinna Shastra Pungavaha Iti Narayana Ashtakshara Kalpe. All this has been set forth in the following authorities. The lords of the world, Brahma, Rudra and others, perceiving the woman and other folk suffering in samsara without the right to study and know the meaning of the Vedas, prayed to the Supreme Purushottama on their behalf. Responding graciously, the Lord manifested himself as Vyasa and composed the fifth Veda, Mahabharata, surpassing the others. It contains truths comprehended by him and by other avatars and which are not confined to the Vedas alone, being intuited by immediate divine knowledge and consistent with all. What does that mean? With the revealed Vedas. The premier Shastra is diversified as Bharata, Pancharatra, Mula Ramayana and Bhagavata Purana, carrying an integrated message. This is what he considers to be the highest portion of Veda. This is from Narayana Ashtakshara Kalpa. Brahmadyaih prarthito Vishnur Bharatam sa... No. Brahmapi tanna janati, ishat sarvopi janati, bahvartham rishayas tattu Bharatam pravadantihi ityupanaradiye. The Upanaradiya says, even Brihaspati knows it not entirely, though everyone knows a little of it. Sages, see, look, he has taken this to mean Brihaspati. He is saying Brahma. Even Brahma doesn't know. But Jayatirtha has interpreted that Brahma to be Brihaspati. One of the names of Brihaspati is also Brahma. Okay, but keep that in mind. Sages declare the Mahabharata embodies several deep meanings. Brahmadyaih prarthito Vishnur Bharatam sa chakaraha yasmin dashartha sarvatra nagyeya sarvajantubhi iti naradiye. The naradiya reads, Lord Vishnu at the request of Brahma and others composed the Mahabharata. It carries 10 meanings all over, not comprehensible to all.
10 meanings of Mahabharata.
Each verse of Mahabharata has 10 meanings.
Is Jayatirtha saying or?
No, Madhu himself. It's actually there. Narada, it's in the Naradiya Purana. Yasmin dashartha sarvatra nagyaya sarvajantubhi. All living creatures cannot understand all of these meanings. In Mahabharata. Bharatam chapi kritavan panchamam vedam uttamam dashavarartham sarvatra kevalam vishnubodhakam paroksharatham tu sarvatra vedad apyuttamam chayat iti skande. The Skanda Purana says, the Lord composed the Bharata as the fifth Veda, having 10 meanings at least. Its primary theme is Vishnu. It has everywhere an esoteric meaning and is superior to the Vedas. Yadi Vidya Chatur Vedan Sangopanishadan Dvijaha Nachet Puranam Samvidyan Naiva Sasya Dvichakshanaha. This is from Mahabharata. Quoting from different places. Should a twice born, all this is decisively established by the following texts also. Should a twice born master the four Vedas with their subsidiaries and their Upanishads without sound knowledge of the Puranas, he cannot be considered a wise man. It is also found in Skanda Purana. Itihasa Puranabhyam Vedam Sam Upabrumheyet Vibetyalpa Shrutadvedaha Mamayam Prachalishyati. One should expound Vedas with the help of Itihasas and Puranas. The Veda shrinks from the shallow, ill-equipped exponent, lest he should pervert its views. Found in Vridhamanu, but it's also found in Mahabharata. Manvadi kechit bruvate hyasti kadi tathapare tatho parichara uparicharadyanye bharatam parichakshate. The learned ones hold that Mahabharata has three different focalizations of meaning: the moral, the narrative, and the philosophical. Now this is Madhvacharya's distinct contribution to Mahabharata studies. Normally, people misinterpret this verse and they think that the Mahabharata begins with the study of literally it has the meaning of Manu, or it has the meaning of Astika, or it has the meaning of Uparichara. But Madhvacharya is meaning that, has explained that this refer to studying three layers of Mahabharata's meaning.
What is the opposite of that?
One is
different understanding.
That the Mahabharata text, it begins with a certain chapter, and the chapter's name is identical with this, Manu. There's another chapter that begins with the title Astika. There's another chapter that begins with the name Uparichara.
Okay.
This all appears in the first canto of Mahabharata. So some people think that the Mahabharata story really begins with this chapter or this chapter or this chapter.
Okay.
But Madhvacharya says this is a wrong misunderstanding of this verse itself. It has a totally different meaning, and the meaning is as he has put it out here. It has a moral dimension, it has a story dimension, and it has a philosophical dimension. And he explains this in greater detail in Mahabharata Tatpariya. Bharatam sarvavedascha tulamaropitah pura devai brahmadibhis sarvai rishibhischa samanvitai vyasasya ivagyaya tatra tu atyarichyata bharatam mahatvad bharavatvacha mahabharatam uchyate. Once Brahma and the other gods and the rishis coming together weighed the Bharata against the Vedas in a balance. At the bidding of Vyasa himself, the Bharata weighed more on the occasion. In view of its intrinsic worth and weightiness, then it is called Bharata the Great.
What is the difference there?
It's there in Mahabharata itself. Because it is great, it is called Maha. And because it is filled with Bhara, weight, it is called Bharata. Niruktasya yo Veda sarva papai pramuchyate yaddi hasti tadanyatra yanne hasti na tat kvachit. This is a famous verse. One who understands this etymological significance of the word becomes cleansed of his sins. Whatever is there in the Bharata can be found in other shastra, other works, but what is not to be found in it cannot be found anywhere else. Virat udyoga saravan ityadi tad vakya paryalochanaya rishi sampradaya kohyanya pundarikakshan mahabharata krid bhavet ityadi purana granthantaragata vakya anyatha anupapatya narada adhyayanadi lingaihi cha avasiyate. And here's another quote. The epic whose quintessence is found in the Virat and Udyoga Parva. Parva is a canto. There are 18 cantos in Mahabharata. Each of them have a name. So there's a Virata canto, there's a Udyoga canto. So the epic whose quintessence is found in the Virat and Udyoga Parvas and so on. This is used to identify the actual book Mahabharata, because somebody may think that Mahabharata is a Sanskrit adjective to some other scripture. So now he is identifying, no, Mahabharata is the same famous book known by the name Mahabharata. That Mahabharata which is glorified is that Mahabharata which has Virata and Udyoga right in the center. It's got 18 cantos. The preeminence of the Bharata is determinable by reflecting on the foregoing texts of the epic itself, on the significance attached to its orderly transmission from teacher to pupil among rishis like Vaishampayana, on its study and dissemination by Paramahamsas like Narada, and the logical reason for the eulogization of the Bharata externally in some other Puranic work like the Vishnu Purana, to the effect, Who else but the Supreme Narayana could be the author of Mahabharata, which by implication establishes the intrinsic merit of the world? You understand? There are so many reasons why Mahabharata is considered to be the final ascertaining scripture. This is what he is building up. He is building up all of this.
Everything is like how Bhagavata was for us, is in Mahabharata.
Yeah, for Tattvavadi, Mahabharata is supreme book. Supreme book. The second is Bhagavata for them. Okay. So this text, this is the famous text regarding Vyasadev spoken by Parashara, that Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa is Narayana himself, because who else could be the author of Mahabharata? So from this it is established that Mahabharata could only be written by the Supreme Lord himself. It cannot be written by an ordinary empowered rishi. Katham anyatha bharata nirukti jnana matrena sarva papakshayaha prasiddhascha sorthaha. Else, how can there be cleansing of all of one's sins by a mere understanding of its etymology? That such a result is attained is borne out by experience. Katham cha anyasya kartum na shakyate granthantara gatatvaccha na avidyamanastutihi. The reasons for the Mahabharata not being producible by anyone other than the Supreme Being Narayana Vyasa himself can only be its embodying truths perceived by the immediate vision of the Supreme Being. Such praise cannot be regarded as an exaggeration, as it comes from an external source.
Who is external source?
Vishnu Purana, not Mahabharata. The Mahabharata itself is not glorifying itself. Some other source, Parashara in fact, is speaking that also. Vyasa is not speaking that. Okay, Parashara is not in the Rishi Sampradaya also, which promotes Mahabharata. It's like Bhagavatam has its parampara, no? Brahma, Narada, Vyasa, Shuka. And there's another Bhagavata parampara, Anantashesha, Four Kumaras, Sankhyayana Rishi, Parashara, okay. Amaitreya, and then Vidura. So Bhagavatam has two paramparas like that. Mahabharata also has its own paramparas. It comes through Vyasa, Vaishampayana, then there's also Vyasa, Jaimini. So Mahabharata has its own. Now Parashara is not in that. Parashara is a third party. And what he's speaking is part of Vishnu Purana. So this cannot be an exaggeration. It cannot be just for inducing a taste in the audience. It is not Arthavada. Na cha kartureva itaratrapi samyat. Nor can it be mere praise of authorship, as such authorship is to be found in other cases also. Tatra cha vasudeva arjuna samvada rupam sarva bharatartha sangraham bharata parijata madhubhutam gitam upanibhavandha. The only way in which the praise in question can be rendered meaningful is by making it signify that Vyasa, the author of the Mahabharata, must be the Supreme Narayana himself, because he has produced a work like the Mahabharata which cannot be produced by anyone other than Narayana himself. Into such a work the illustrious Vyasa has dovetailed the Gita, which is sweet like the honey of the celestial Parijata flower, that is the great epic, in the form of a dialogue between Vasudeva and Arjuna, epitomizing the message of the whole epic.
Into such a work, well, read that again. Illustrious Vyasa dovetailed the Gita.
He has placed the Gita. Which is sweet like the honey of the celestial Parijata flower. If Mahabharata is a celestial Parijata flower because it gives dharma, artha, kama, moksha, then Bhagavad Gita is the honey of that. And
but honey should be dharma, artha, kama, moksha.
No. In his teaching, the honey is moksha. In his teaching, moksha is the honey. Generally, he presents it like that, epitomizing the message of the whole epic. Tachoktam Bharatam Sarvashastresu Bharate Gitika Vara Vishno Sahasranamapi Gyayam Pathyam Chitadvayam Iti Mahakaurmye. The Mahakaurma, spelling mistake, Mahakaurma, which means the Mahakurma Purana, says, among Shastras, the Bharata excels. The Gita and the Vishnu Sahasranama excel other parts of the epic. These two should be studied and recited by all. Valadeva Vidyabhushan has given commentary on both of this. Sahi dharma superyapto brahmana padavedane ityadicha. The Anugita has it. The discipline taught in the Gita is competent to lead to true knowledge of the nature of Brahman. The same discipline practiced after one has attained true knowledge is competent to usher in the full manifestation of one's Swarupananda in moksha. This is all from Jayatirtha. But it's okay. It's not.
So according to their conception, they believe Krishna deity Udupi is there, then you have Vaikuntha. What is there? Do they believe Vaikuntha? They believe what?
Vaikuntha.
Suppose Krishna deity in Udupi.
Why?
Krishna who is Narayana.
Yeah, Narayana who is Krishna.
Or they believe Dwarka.
What do you mean believe? There is one Vaikuntha. That conception of Vaikuntha is practically similar to Sri Vaishnava conception of Vaikuntha.
Sri Vaishnava Narayana with Lakshmi.
That's all. More or less that's all they have. Their conception of Lakshmi is different.
Tattvavadi
conception of Lakshmi is different. They don't understand Lakshmi to be...
So the Ramanuja and Madhva school, they consider Krishna as Dwarka Krishna, that's all. Vrindavan Krishna is what?
There's only one Krishna. What is that Vrindavan Krishna, Dwarka Krishna? In their conception, I'm talking of their own conception.
Okay.
According to their conception also.
Krishna, they worship Krishna as Krishna who...
So the incarnation of Narayana.
So what is Krishna of Vrindavan then? Who lived in Vrindavan?
There is only one Krishna who took birth from Devaki and who was taken there and who came back and who... It's like Ramachandra is born to Kausalya. Then he goes for Gurukula, he comes back, then he goes... If you start talking of Kausalya's son Rama and Sita's husband Rama, then they'll get confused. What is this? There's only one Rama, there's only one Krishna also. That detail and all, they don't... You should not freak them out.
Krishna, Vrindavan, Krishna,
all
our concept. They don't have such...
Yeah, first of all, they'll start thinking, what is all of this? What these people are talking, that's what they'll think. Okay, wait, let me get out the... This is... We have time, we have some time. Shridhar Swami.
No, sir, you want to translate?
Interaction.
Hmm? I found it.
English.
Huh?
Some Mayavadi
only.
Are you?
The fellow in general, if they are themselves see, this is a Ramakrishna mission, so they are not even fully Mayavadis. I don't know what they are.
Why you would take that? Why don't you read out the meaning of that?
They are mixed Mayavadi and...
No. You see, they are themselves, they printed this and they themselves say that Sridhara is too much of a bhakta. Because he doesn't talk Shankaracharya. Sridhar Swami differs from Shankaracharya. In fact, they themselves, they think that because he was dissatisfied with Shankara, he wrote a commentary. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shesha Shesha Mukha Vyakhya Chaturyam Tu Eka Vaktrataha Dathanam Madhutam Vande Paramananda Madhavam.
So, before we go to this, so if you look at Madhvacharya's introduction, he's placing the... Bhagavad Gita within the
Mahabharata.
Yes, he is presenting the context.
Yes. Okay. And Mahabharata, he is presenting it within the larger context of the entire tree of Vedic. Everything.
In this essence.
Yes.
But what is Ramana? Ramana doesn't touch any of these things. Just talk
about Ramanuja, I think he looks like he is straight away countering Shankaracharya.
First of all, he presents the Supreme Lord as spiritually variegated.
Just
he goes into such detail that saying, he's describing each feature,
quality,
you know.
Quality of feature.
Him, his body,
and
then his associates, and then his weapons,
his ornaments,
his abode, his wife, everything. In each of them, he's got so many adjectives to describe them.
Basically, he's countering Shankaracharya.
One thing is, there is a book by Yamuna called Gitartha Sangraha, only 32 verses. So Ramanuja had it in front of him. His Gita Bhashya is an explanation on the basis of those 32 verses. So So when we complete Bhagavad Gita, at that time we will go through Yamanacharya's brief only, we will be able to make sense of what Ramanujacharya is doing. Sometimes he quotes that also. Okay, I bow down to the wonderful Madhava, the embodiment of supreme bliss, who with one mouth expressed what had been taught with dexterity by Shesha through innumerable mouths. Notice this, Paramananda Madhava. Sridhar Swami repeatedly talks about Paramananda Madhava to such an extent that some academic scholars, they think maybe Paramananda Madhava was his guru. They don't know who is this Paramananda Madhava. For everything he says, by the mercy of Paramananda Madhava, I am writing Bhagavatam commentary. By the mercy of Paramananda Madhava, I understand the teachings of the prayers of the personified Vedas. He gives this Paramananda Madhava comes everywhere, repeatedly. Sri Madhavam Pranamya Umadhavam Vishvesham Madharat.
Bhagavatam says this.
Yeah. Paramananda Madhavam, that is the original verse. So repeatedly he talks about this. My own interpretation is he was directly blessed by the Supreme Lord. It appears to be so, according to tradition also. Because according to this Ramakrishna Mission people only, this commentary became so controversial in Shankara group that what he is talking like a Vaishnava. So it must be wrong. So then Sridhar Swami said, okay, you ask Lord Shiva. And they placed it before Lord Shiva's deity in Varanasi. And then he said, Aham Vedmi, Shuko Veti, Vyaso Veti, Na Vetiva, Sridharas Sakalam Veti, Srinirsimha Prathadatah. I know everything, Aham Vedmi, Shuko Veti, Shukadev knows everything, Vyaso Veti, Na Vetiva, Vyasa may not know, Sridharas Sakalam Veti, Sridhara knows everything, Srinirsimha Prasadatah, by the mercy of Nrisimha. He's a devotee of Nrisimha.
Who said this?
By tradition it is that Lord Vishveshwara, Vishwanath deity in Varanasi.
So, it describes Chaitanya Charitamrita also?
The first half.
First half?
Aham Vedmi Vyaso Veti, Aham Vedmi Shugo Veti Vyaso Veti Na Veti Va, Bhaktiya Bhagavatam Grahyam, Na Buddhya Na Chatikaya. Spoken by Lord Shiva. Tad Bhakti Anta Tahkurve Gita Vyakhyam Subodhinim.
So what
is the meaning
of
Vyasa Vrittina? The Madhva group hates this verse like anything.
Vision?
That verse. Lord Shiva saying that. I know, Shukadev knows, Vyasa may not know. They get freaked out. Say, what? You are talking, Vyasa knows what? Vyasa doesn't know. He is the Supreme Narayana himself. He is the author of Mahabharata. And you are saying he may know, he may not know. What is this?
But they don't accept Lord Shiva also.
No, they think that Lord Shiva is just a post. After respectfully bowing down to Vishnu and Shiva, the Lord of the universe.
Who is Lord of the universe here?
Vishveshwara, his deity, Vishwanath.
Okay. So he accepts Lord Shiva as the Lord of the universe. I mean,
he's the deity. That deity's name is Vishwanath, Vishveshwara.
I had a meaning like this because Vyasa was a Grihastha. Shubhda Kuja was from the event that renounced.
That I don't know. We don't want to speculate on that. Prabhupada clearly says he's incarnation of the Supreme Lord, he's as transcendental as Shukadeva Goswami. And being guided by devotion to them, I'm writing this commentary called Subodhini on the Gita. Now
Sridhar
Swami.
It's called Subodhini?
Yeah. This is the original Subodhini.
No, but wrote what?
Vallacharya
wrote Sri
Subodhini. That is Bhagavatam. This is Gita Subodhini.
Gita Subodhini.
And it, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur powerfully argues that Sridhar Swami is not a Shankara follower at all. Rather, he is a follower of Vishnu Swami. Vishnu Swami appears in Shiva's line. He is Sri Brahma Rudra Sanaka, Rudra line.
Yeah.
Okay. And he has certain peculiar characteristics which are found only in Vishnu Swami followers, because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati from other sources has traced out what that previously there was indeed a person named Vishnu Swami. His books are more or less not found, but there are various compendiums of Indian philosophy written 400 years back, 500 years back. So from that he has traced out that there was a group called Vishnu Swami group. They worshipped Narasimha. They accept the Supreme Lord as having Sachidananda Vigraha. They have certain features in their philosophy. Sridhar Swami exhibits all of that. And for determining the essence of Bhagavatam, he is quoting Vishnu Swami. He has not quoted Shankaracharya to to establish any of this. He quotes Shankaracharya to say that the Supreme Lord has a form beyond liberation. So he is quoting Shankara, but he quotes Shankara for some Vaishnava purpose. He uses Shankaracharya's language and he says there is something beyond moksha. So they all know that he is not a regular follower of Shankaracharya. Even if you claim, even if you try very hard to establish he is a follower of Shankara, he is not preaching any of Shankaracharya's unique Advaita, Kevala Advaita teachings also. So in general they all have a doubt. You know, they all know that he's not a regular Mayavadi and he's preaching Vaishnavism even though he's using Mayavada language. He's doing something.
Mahaprabhu said in that 1.1.1 as Lord Chaitanya, that they said that Muhyatiya Suraya Bhakte Kadakshaka Swami Virodhi Vallabh Pravritti.
Sanatana Goswami described Sridhar Swami as the one who is a singular protector of bhakti. So definitely our acharyas consider, Jiva Goswami says that sometimes Sridhar Swami's Bhagavata commentary is not pleasing to the Vaishnavas. And he says only when it is displeasing I will write my commentary, Krama Sandarbha. So even though he is himself a Parama Vaishnava, Baladeva Vidyabhushan has demonstrated, because a Vaishnava means he has to accept the eternality of the Lord, his features, his associates, his abode, the process of bhakti, he accepts all of this. So since he exhibits all the unique features of a Vaishnava, certainly he is a Vaishnava. So that is how he determines that Sridhar Swami is actually a Vaishnava only, he is not a non-Vaishnava. This is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's point, that why Lord Chaitanya would accept, because Swarup Damodar Goswami could not tolerate Shariraka Bhashya at all. And Swarup Damodar Goswami was reputed by Lord Chaitanya to do all philosophical filtering in Puri. So from that it's very clear Lord Chaitanya had zero tolerance for Kevala Advaita. Even a little bit Swarup Damodar could not handle. In Chaitanya Charitamrita that comes now. Somebody wrote some poem saying, comparing Jagannath to mobile Lord and Lord Chaitanya to mobile world, form of God and Jagannath to immobile form. Then he became very irritated. So it's very clear that neither Swarup Damodar nor Lord Chaitanya had any tolerance for even a slight bit of Kevala Advaita. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's point was this. Then how could he tolerate Sridhar Swami? So something is very wrong with the conception that Sridhar Swami is Kevala Advaita. And in fact he says this is what Vallabhacharya did not understand. So he might have come in that line. Okay, it's 6 o'clock, we'll stop with this. We'll continue from this point. Sridhar down.
Proper introduction will take a few.
That's okay. We'll just read, that's all.
One day.
Yeah, it's okay. One, it might take
2 sessions.
Pages.
Keshav Bhakti Maharaj standard, 40 pages, loudly should be proper.
41.
Okay.